The Survivor Specialists are back, and it is the day before the Survivor 50 finale. I am live for the final predictions and prop bet game of the season with Jack Atkins. You all might know him from The Circle. You all might know him also from Survivor News with Bryce and Wen. I don't know who Bryce is. There's no way anybody cares enough about Bryce to put him on a t-shirt. Oh, wow. That's crazy. If anybody was wondering, Bryce is on Jack's t-shirt. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
What a time to be alive.
And I got to shout out, this is not a paid ad, but I got to shout out Survivor Immuna t-shirts. Sent me a Bryce shirt, sent me a Wendell shirt, and I've been rocking them heavy. So shout out to them. But very excited to be here, Phil.
Do you have a Jack Atkins Survivor Immuna t-shirt?
I don't, but Bryce got one, which is what inspired me then being like, I got to repay the favor here and represent. So yeah, Bryce pulled up in a Jack Atkins shirt one pod, and I was very, very stoked. I was surprised.
Yeah, Bryce was wearing the Wendell one on our podcast that we did with him. And I said, look at Wendell just sitting in front of you in all these different positions. And that got a reaction to start the podcast. Yeah. So here we are.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I put my foot in my mouth about 55 times on that podcast with Bryce, and Bryce is one to jump down. When you just put your foot in your mouth, Bryce is like, tell me more about that. Why don't you just
I mean, he loves a foot in the mouth, you know? Anything that you say is going to be, twisted. But
yeah,
shout out to Bryce.
There you go. Well, we got a finale coming up. I've been talking about this finale nonstop. I was told by a consistent commenter, one who's positive. I read the comment about my Saturday one with James Jones that said, Phil is so flat in this episode. Is he just defeated like the rest of us about this? I don't know. I try to be lively. I try to be pumped. It was 8 a.m. and we tried out a new margarita bar, myself, Blake, and my wife. I don't know if it's actually new, but it was definitely new from the last time I lived here. And all of a sudden it was 1 a.m. And then I was like, damn, I got James Jones at 7:30. But anyway, so I hope I don't come across flat here, but Jack, why don't I start with you on whatever we might call positivity or whether you're negative. I don't really know where you're at. How are you feeling about tomorrow being the grand finale of this season?
Yeah, I try to remain positive, but at the same time, I can be a cynic, and I have definitely expressed some criticisms at times because I think, you know, you don't want to be overly negative, but also I feel like I could speak for a lot of people. This is our favorite show. You want it to be the best product possible. And I feel like in recent years, it hasn't always been the direction that I feel like the general fan base, can't speak for everybody, has necessarily wanted. But, you know, with that being said, I'm excited. I'm not like over the moon excited, but I am, you know, the return of the live finale. I feel like it's going to be really fun to just have the energy back, especially, you know, we both live in LA and it's hosted here. And I think there's something special about that, getting all these legends in the same room and bringing the live finale back. So I'm still figuring out my exact plans on how I want to sit down and watch this thing, but I'm definitely excited. And if I wasn't excited, I wouldn't be here. So
yeah, exactly. No, I hear you on that. I know the live finale, there's a lot of people who are going, and then the people who aren't, this is where everybody who's used to just watching on West Coast time, who lives on the West Coast, now has to get those VPNs going. And I will say NordVPN was like $3 a month for the first 2 years. So yeah, if you're looking for a VPN, man, this is not a paid advertisement for that or Immuna t-shirts. But if you're looking to watch on the West Coast, it has not let me down yet. And my wife and I have used it every time. So I'm just saying that's an option, everybody.
Yeah, I've gone the VPN route before. I might do it again, but it's one of those things. I got other friends that I like to watch with who they might not get out of work until like a 6 o'clock. And then all of a sudden, because if you're watching on the VPN, you're starting at 5. So I got to figure out, I'm going to have to sleep on this and figure out my strategy and see what people are up to. But
what it really comes down to is your friends need to get their priorities straight and take off Wednesday, like myself and like all these other people who are, you know, the true Survivor fans. You just got to take off on Wednesday. That's just what it comes down to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am trying to find the positive. And actually, what's funny about this, we have Ko Rong starting on Thursday for Every Season Matters on our Patreon. So my wife and I have been just rolling through Ko Rong. She's never seen it before. And I will say, as I'm watching that season, as the Michelle Stan that I am, as obnoxious as I always was and as obnoxious as I am right now, if Aubrey does pull this out, which I think is the predictable outcome here, It is such a satisfying story from season to season. Like that opening of Ko-Rong and watching her make the mistakes as people are getting sent to the jury. Like you're watching Scott Pollard go to the jury, Julia go to the jury, Kyle Jason go to the jury, and you're watching her just not do anything to try to keep those people on her side. She doesn't know it's going to be a 7-person jury at the time because she doesn't know Michelle's ultimately going to vote Neil off.
Yeah.
But three people in a row just going over to the jury without really any relationship with Aubrey. And to watch her on this season, even watch Jonathan do it too, to an extent of really trying to say, no, like I see what's happening. I see what my mistake was. I need to make sure everybody feels good with me as they leave. It is making me a little bit more excited. Maybe it's because I just rolled through three of the best episodes of Survivor ever at that crazy stretch of Ko-Rong. Yeah. But all I know is like the Aubrey satisfaction of a season by season arc, I'm in love with. I still wish they did more with her here if she wins it, but the season by season arc is incredible.
Okay. I mean, that's interesting to hear because I've been, you know, she seems to be the sort of the general consensus favorite right now. And I think she's got a chance. I mean, I think Rizzo has a chance. Tiffany, I mean, I'm rooting for Tiff, but I feel like she's got a coalition that's formed against her. It might be a little bit tough. And it's interesting to think about a potential Aubrey win because I feel like going into the season, we did some superlatives on our podcast. And I think I asked like who has the most, like whose reputation is the most at stake going into 50, where a bad performance could really tank their overall Survivor stock. A good performance could really cement them as a phenomenal player. And my pick was an Aubrey because I felt like she has a great run in Ko-Rong and one of the most controversial losses possibly of all time. And then, in my personal opinion, Game Changers made it far, but didn't have a lot of, like, win equity, it didn't feel like, and just wasn't even really in the edit a whole lot for us to know exactly, like, what her maneuvering even was. And then Edge of Extinction kind of gets, you know, at least as far as the edit goes, a little bit embarrassed that, you know, you have that scene where they show her running around trying to start a dialogue with everybody, and then she gets blindsided by Victoria and Co., and so, you know, coming into this, I feel like, is this an opportunity for her to prove that her Ko-Rong performance was not a fluke? Or if she struggled and went out early, is it like, was it a fluke and all of her other subsequent performances have been kind of weak? So it's interesting you've been rewatching Ko-Rong because it seems very timely with, you know, what could with this season.
Well, and it's crazy because we started doing Every Season Matters in January of 2026, January 2024. And we just started with season one and just started rolling. And then we had one episode that we had to do for All Stars where like we all couldn't make it. So we just did like an extra episode. And somehow it lined up where the premiere of Ko-Rong would be the day after the finale. And if what I think is going to happens, it'd be the day after Aubrey wins a season. Like that's just sometimes these things just happen, people. And I don't know how it happens sometimes, but yeah, I want to see the Rizzo edit so much more, and especially with the way Rizzo's been playing this season. Mm-hmm. I keep saying it, but like I just wish that they would have given him a little bit more credit for the stuff that he's done. I feel like he's been so much more impactful in the votes than what they are showing. I feel like, you know, Ozzy going home was pretty much Rizzo's decision. If Rizzo doesn't want to go with that, Ozzy doesn't go home that episode. And I think last week, Sari, to an extent, was also partially Rizzo's decision. So what are you thinking about the RIZGOD here as we go into finale night? Is he living up to that expectation? Is he where you wanted him to be? Like, how do you feel now? We are about to watch 26 straight episodes of RIZGOD. Have you been exhausted by him? That's half a year of Riz God.
No, I think the RIZGOD has been steadily growing on me, where Bryson went always joke, going into 49, Bryson went always joke that I love, you know, a player that's similar to me, like a younger white guy, which Rizzo fits the bill. But at first, you know, with his intro confessional of 49 claiming he's the Riz God and just, you know, his antics, I was a little bit skeptical. And I feel like as time has gone on through 49 through 50, he's consistently grown on me. And you know, I think what you said about what's been shown of him, I think he's been really playing a fantastic game this season where he comes in, nobody else has seen his season. All they've seen is that 49 teaser confessional about him, you know, like self-proclaiming himself as the Riz God, which naturally I think would throw, you know, maybe a Colby Donaldson and that type off a little bit. And I think he came in and he just kind of embraced his super fan persona and used that to lower his threat level a little bit and then work his way in and charm people and win people over. And then take, you know, you go in and you look at him at the beginning of the merge and he was kind of in good with everybody. He was offered a spot on the Four Horsemen. He had obviously relationships with Suri and Ozzy, and he even seemed to have some relationships like with kind of the other like nerdier players like a Devins. And so he was in a great spot. And I think he just like leveraged that very well. He attached himself to Suri, but I'm sure I think in the strategic discussions with her, he was always a factor. And so I think he just played his hand about as well as you can. But I think it's one of those things where him coming in, nobody having seen his season, and then him, you know, wisely leaning into this super fan persona, kind of naturally when he gets to the end, or if he gets to the end, lowers his stock a little bit because they are going to view him like he lowered his own threat level as a strategy. But it's kind of a catch 22 of like, well, if you get to the end, how do you pitch to the jury that you were doing all these things, especially when they don't know your reputation? And so that's why if he does get to the end, I think it could be a little bit tricky for him. And maybe that's why editing wise, they haven't given him as much credit, because I feel like the jury wouldn't necessarily see it through that lens.
Well, and I think the shame of it is like, look, if Rizzo gets to the final three and loses, okay, don't give him credit for his moves because he got to the final three and he loses. Like you don't want to confuse the audience that much when you're sitting there going, wait, Rizzo played this great game. That's happened in the past before with Russell Hantz, and people went, wait, what the hell? And you should have given more credit to Natalie. But if Rizzo doesn't make the final three, I'm really going to get tired of the Riz God haters quickly, because the Riz God haters are going to be so over the top saying Rizzo could never win. He sucked at Survivor. He didn't do anything this season. And I think it's just wrong. Like, I think that there's so much going on behind the scenes. And I feel like, you know, the exit press hasn't been kind to Rizzo, but who have a lot of these people in exit press been kind to in their past seasons?
Yeah.
Like somebody mentioned, Chrissy G here says, what do you think of Ozzy's exit interviews dissing Rizzo? And Bryce isn't here to defend Ozzy right now, so I'll just go ahead and say it. Like, who has Ozzy really been positive towards in past seasons in his exit press? For the most part, Ozzy kind of goes on, he's an old school mentality. He goes on like these diss tours.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I like that. I think you should do that. I think we should get word association from Gordon Holmes where we all go, oh shit, those two people hate each other, but Ozzy's big enough to then go be friends with people after. So I don't know. I'm not buying into like this Rizzo's a fool thing. I think Rizzo's played a really good game this season.
Wait, so, you know, I don't follow a lot of the exit press and all of that. Enlighten me a little bit on the stance of these Rizzo haters, because I find that to be very surprising.
So I haven't read all of it, because I try to, if I start reading too much into it, then I start going, oh God, it's kind of like when CBS Mornings asks the players, who do you think is going to win? And then they all have to answer. And I'm like, okay, who's really going to willingly break their NDA and say the person who wins? So pretty much I'm doing a process of elimination by who they're saying. If they're if they're comfortable enough to say, hey, I think that, you know, I don't know, Suri is going to win. Yeah, if they're willing to say that, that means that they're confident they're not going to get hit with an NDA or something. Mm. But I do feel like with Rizzo, from what I have seen in some of like the exit press or just the conversation, is a lot of people are just saying he's got sick. He hasn't really been doing anything post merge. Nobody's taking him seriously as a threat. If he got, everybody kind of wanted to go to final three against him. They thought that they could beat him. You know, here Arcadis says it's unfortunate if Rizzo's not in the final three, doesn't win, because it just feels like the Suri Ozzy blow up is for nothing. It just feels like Rizzo wasn't taken seriously, which, like, you know, he's the 27-year-old guy on the season, and he calls himself the Riz God. Maybe he was never going to be able to be taken seriously. But I do feel like the haters are latching on to that. And that makes me a little sad.
Yeah, that's the thing, kind of what I mentioned of the catch 22 of Rizzo's game, is he sort of intentionally and smartly diminished his own threat level coming in. And in the long run, as far as like your win equity, it's going to reduce that a little bit, but it is going to allow you to make a deep run. I mean, like he did this season, like he did in 49. And I feel confident that from Rizzo's perspective, it was all very strategic and intentional. So it's hard to say, oh, he was just along for the ride. Like, I think there was intention behind that. But I do think you have a guy like him a young guy who leans into his like innocence and naivete, and you have like Colby and Stephanie and Chrissy and Coach. I guess Colby's not on the jury, but you have those types of players on the jury. You know, is Coach ever gonna respect Rizzo's game? Like, probably not. And so Rizzo, I think, was just in a tough spot to begin with. But the thing is, I think if he doesn't play this game and he tries to play a more aggressive game early on to like really earn respect, I don't think most of the time that he ends up getting far and giving himself a chance to potentially win, because, you know, I think he finds himself in a position now to be in a final three with some people that he theoretically could beat. Given that, I think, like I said, his equity going into the season overall was pretty low. So now he finds himself against, you know, if he's against a Joe and a Jonathan, I think he's got a fighting chance. So, and it's one of those things that's interesting about Rizzo, where now that everyone's seen 49 and 50, I'm sure we're going to see more Riz in the future, where how's that going to change his perception in the game? Because now if I were to go out on the island on like a 50 whatever and Rizzo's there, I'm like, okay, this guy can play. And that's someone that I think players are going to respect his game. So that could really shift both how he maneuvers the game and his potential credit with the jury.
Yeah, and this comment from Jaybird Aquatic, Jonathan or Joe's going to win because I'm manifesting it. Probably long shot with Joe, but Johnny boy, he's got this. I feel like that's where Rizzo wins. Like you mentioned it, Jonathan and Joe. I feel like Rizzo has a fighting chance against Jonathan and Joe. The problem is Rizzo has to get to final three, and that would require Aubrey, who's won a fire making, losing fire, or Tiff losing fire. I don't think either one of them is losing fire, especially considering Jonathan has lost fire before. Maybe Joe could win fire. In 48, who was fire making? Was it Camilla versus?
It was Camilla versus.
Did Joe?
No, I think it was Eva, right?
Was it Eva? Now I got to look because I can't remember. I can't remember yesterday at this point.
I think it was Eva.
Kyle won and took Joe, so it was Camilla versus Eva, and Eva beat her. Yep.
But, you know, I will say, I mean, Aubrey's a good fire maker. I think Tiff's a pretty good fire maker. But, you know, Jonathan lost fire, but he lost to Mike Turner, who, if I remember correctly, was a pretty good fire. Like, Mike Turner did quite well. I don't know, but, you know, I think obviously Rizzo, I don't think is the best fire maker. So if he is in the fire maker, that's the thing. Rizzo probably has to win a Final Four immunity or win fire. And that's a tricky, you know, those aren't Rizzo's fortes. I do think Jonathan and Joe is his best shot. I don't think Jonathan or Joe have much of a chance to win in general, contrary to what that commenter said. Granted, if it is a Rizzo, Jonathan, Joe, I might hedge my bets towards a Jonathan just because, again, I think with the composition of the jury, Jonathan probably has a little bit more respect there just out of like a Stephanie and a Chrissy and a Coach who presumably are all going to vote for him. If Joe somehow ends up on the jury, Joe's probably going to vote for Jonathan. I could definitely see Rizzo grabbing some votes there, like a D, and then maybe a Suri. But I still think it's tricky for – I think Jonathan could definitely beat Rizzo as well.
Yeah. No, you
got to put yourself in the best position, right? So
I think a Jonathan Joe Rizzo final three is actually the most interesting final three, but there, I don't think there's any shot we get that. I really don't. I feel like it was kind of like the same thing going into 48's finale, where I felt like, and 49's finale, I felt like a Savannah Sophie Rizzo final three was the most interesting. You throw Sage in there. Now all of a sudden Savannah and Rizzo aren't splitting votes. Sophie Bellarity gets a couple, but Savannah gets the rest. Sage only gets one. If you go back to 48, I kept saying, is there a way that we can get Kyle and Camilla both into the final three? Because if you get them both there, maybe now they split votes. Maybe now somebody else gets votes, or, you know, we could see a tie, or it's really up in the air. And that's what it kind of feels like on this season. Although I feel like if it was Rizzo, Jonathan, Joe, I would be, if you would have told me that would be the final three before the season began, I'd say that's so unsatisfying. I can't have that. If you tell me that now the day before the finale, I would say, okay, that means we get totally blindsided. Aubrey goes home. It's very reminiscent of Jesse going home at 4 and 43. Now we have a Gabler situation versus Cassidy versus Owen, where I say, okay, who has this? Joe, I think, falls into the Owen position there, where he doesn't get any votes. But could Joe get one or two votes from these honor and integrity people, which ultimately splits enough from Jonathan that Rizzo ends up winning? That's the most compelling final three.
Yeah.
If Aubrey is in there, I think it's not compelling. And if Tip is in there, I don't think it's compelling. But I think the problem with Tip is if Tip was going to be in there, we would have heard so much more from Tiff at this point, because if Tiff ends up winning the season with what we got from her, that would be crazy.
Right. I mean, is there a world? I agree with you. I think it would be the most compelling. I think long term, it would also be the least satisfactory. Mm-hmm. Like if Jonathan or Joe win the season, I'm not going to be particularly enthusiastic about that. Granted, I think Jonathan's game has been a little bit underrated. Like, I will say that. Is there a world where like Tiff and Aubrey are in the final three together?
Maybe. And if that's the case, then I think Tiff probably gets smoked by Aubrey again. Like, I mean, and that's where, like, if Tiff was going to be competitive in that final three, if it was Tiff versus Aubrey, how did we see so little from Tiff this season? And then my other thing is with Tiff, how does Tiff get there? They're hyping her up as a threat now. So she'd have to win at final five, and she's great at challenges. She's still got Jonathan and she's still got Joe. And I don't think she has an ally left in the game. Aubrey's been saying, I got to go to the end with the right people. She's looking over. She sees Joe, Jonathan, Rizzo, and then she sees Tiff. It's like that Simpsons thing where they're picking the baseball teams, and every time that the one kid goes to pick, a different professional baseball player shows up, and it's like, of course you're going to pick that person. Yeah. It's like the anti that, where of course Aubrey's going to pick the people that she can dominate, and I don't think she can dominate Tiff, so I don't see how Tiff gets past five.
Yeah, it's a tough, unless she wins out, I think it's a tough situation. I do think her and Aubrey at a final three could be interesting, but I'm in a general agreement on, like, I'm rooting for Tiff, but I think it's a tough path.
Well, how does Tiff get there? What's your pitch?
I mean, she wins at five, and then she wins fire, or wins final four, like, which she's done well in challenges. I think it's possible, but it's unlikely. But to your point, like, that's the thing with Aubrey. And that's why I feel like especially last episode was a little bit slower, maybe more predictable. It's kind of the classic case of the three or four people on the bottom, like at the final seven, sort of being like, all right, we all know we're the bottom three or four here. Like, we kind of need to just band together and go to the end, and it's simple. And like, that's why they vote out a big threat in Devin's and a big threat in Suri. And I think to that same, and like Joe and Jonathan being especially loyal types of guys, now that they've sort of staked their claim in the Aubrey alliance, like, I don't really see Jonathan and Joe also having any desire to like then flip on Aubrey. Like, it just seems like that's kind of where they've dug their grave. So, I think that's the most likely final three. Although I'm rooting for...
Do you think Jonathan and Joe think they can beat Aubrey? Like, forget Joe. I think Joe thinks he can beat everybody. I don't know like where he's at, but do you think Jonathan truly thinks Aubrey's his best shot?
I think that, I don't know. I reckon in his mind, he also thinks he could beat Rizzo. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to imagine he maybe thinks his shot with Rizzo is better than with Aubrey. Although, like, we've been seeing a ton of Aubrey content, but just kind of putting myself in the perspective of a Jonathan, like, not to say that I think Aubrey's maneuvered socially quite well, like post-merge, but she doesn't, and it's been very subtle though. And she doesn't really have like a signature move or anything of this season with that. If I'm Jonathan, excluding the fact that we've seen a lot of Aubrey's POV editing wise, I'm sort of like, she wasn't a major factor at the beginning of the merge. She kind of got strong armed into playing her idol to no avail. She was a target in the Devins Aubrey vote and then the coach Chrissy vote, and was sort of saved. I don't know, maybe not saved, but aided by the fact that Devins pulls his shenanigans. She was sort of MIA at the Mr. Beast vote. I don't know if Christian going was that necessarily ideal for her, although I think she was on board with that. Minus the fact that we've seen a lot of her perspective. And again, I think socially she's maneuvered quite well. It's been very subtle. She's built good relationships within her alliance, but also like with others. And to sort of to your point, compared to Ko Rong, I think much better relationship with the jury.
Yeah.
But I don't think like her game has been flashy in any sense, which I think is in 50 is kind of like the right way to go about it, is to not be flashy. But I can totally see why Jonathan would, especially I think Jonathan and Joe have a certain hubris about them where they probably don't expect themselves to maybe lose to an Aubrey. But I think they would probably feel the same way about a Rizzo, where they look at him as like where they would very underestimate him.
Yeah, no, and I think that's totally fair. I think it's also, yeah, your perception of how you're being perceived, right? Like,
yeah.
I always say, and I've said it pretty much since the beginning of this new era, if you are a female player under 5 foot five, I'm voting you out. Like, they are the dominant, they are the new powerhouses on Survivor. And I know that sounds like I'm joking, but like, if you go and meet the winners of this new era, they are all the most unassuming women you've ever seen in your life. Like, I met Savannah at the Bryson one in Atlanta, and I was like, I would never think that Savannah could beat me at stuff. And Savannah would kick my ass at a lot of stuff. But that's just that mentality. And I think that, you know, Joe and Jonathan are ready to go to the end. Honor and integrity. Let's battle it out, bro. Like, fist bump. Let's get out of here. And Aubrey's over there like, did you all forget that I also played a game and I played a different one than you guys? You guys can fight in the corner, but it's like they're going to be punching each other and Aubrey's going to be standing over there just smiling.
And I think there's probably an element of Joe and Jonathan sort of within this season maybe existed within this echo chamber of their cloth alliance, as we've coined it on our podcast.
I can hear Bryce's from
in,
here.
In their, in their frequent conversations with Coach and with Stephanie and with Chrissy and whatever, you know, a lot of that talk is like the value of honor and integrity. So they probably look at that jury and they're like, okay, there's a handful of people that we know are going to vote our way, can probably muster up a few more votes. And you know, if you're out there and you're not part of that group, but you're in conversations with that group, take a Rizzo, for example, where for the sake of blowing some smoke, you're like leaning into those conversations, sort of like how Rizzo was like, oh, I'm all about, I'm a horseman, I'm all about the honor and integrity. Yeah. In reality, Rizzo was kind of like, this is dumb. Like, I'm just doing this to make Coach happy. I think they're in for maybe a surprise when, you know, they have their few people on the jury, but my guess is everyone else on that jury, a Suri, a D, a Christian, a Devins, is going to be like, we didn't say it during the game, but this is the dumbest shit we've ever heard. So we're not voting for you. And I think Jonathan and Joe are going to be like, what? But the thing, I also, you mentioned Joe, you said he thinks he probably beats anybody. I disagree. I think after 48, he probably realized that that wasn't necessarily a winning game. But at the same time, I feel like, I just don't think that Joe, I think he maybe even had a confessional sort of about this or whatever, where I don't think while he's playing the game, he's like looking down the road that far. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if he's thinking about like his final three combinations and like where the votes go and where they don't. I think he's just like doing what he feels like he should just be doing, which I think, you know, partly why he lost 48 and why I expect him to lose again here. But I think he gets to the final three and it's just like, well, I did this, I did that. But I don't think he's really thinking about other people's resumes. I don't think he's really thinking about what the jury's thinking. I think he's just pretty like has his blinders on his own game. Much like how he's just kind of played throughout the season. Like he just kind of looks at it through his lens and doesn't factor in like other people's motivations.
Yeah. It's not main character syndrome. Cause I don't think Joe is a person who has main character syndrome in real life. Like I don't think Joe walks into a room and says, oh, like everybody's looking at me, you know, but I do think that there's something about that on Survivor where, because he's not the biggest fan, he doesn't really understand the he doesn't understand how other people get perceived when things are going wrong on Survivor. And I don't think he realizes he might be the best person out there. Like in terms of people, I don't know. I've met him a couple times, but like, I don't know, maybe he's the best person out there. Maybe he's not, but he could be.
Yeah.
But he doesn't realize that being the best person out there doesn't win you the game of Survivor. That's not what Survivor's about. Survivor is more about who played a little bit more cutthroat. We're willing to reward the person who took the shot and who stabbed people in the back at the right time, as long as they do it in some sort of tactful way. And if you're able to pull that off, we're going to give you our votes at the end. And I don't think Joe realizes that at all.
Exactly. I think we've seen him constantly struggle with that, just like genuinely being confused as to why people are like deceiving. And it's like, do you know what show you're on?
Yeah.
But I think you made a great point. Like, I think he's really confident in the fact that he is like a pretty good person, which I think we could generally in real life, like agree on that. You know, he's a firefighter, he's a dad, and you know, watching him in 48, he's like, this is a good guy. And he's confident in his strengths. Like he's very physical. you know, it seems like he's good with the survival elements of the show. And so to him, he's probably like, I'm doing what I can do. And like, I'm getting along with people for the most part. And like, that is a winning game when he's not looking at exactly what you said of like, people actually respect when you can lie to people here, Joe.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's even like crossed his mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code SPECIALIST with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALIST with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALIST when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
All right, let's do these questions. So this is the last questions of the year, everybody. So the winner of this game at the end of everything is going to take home a custom Pop Funko from Todd Herzog, who hopefully I meet tomorrow night. He is out here along with a bunch of other winners going to this finale, and I need to meet Todd in real life. That'll be a nice moment for me. Who also made it to the finals of the winner bracket. So hell yeah. I don't know why Survivor has not put him back on. The fact that he made it as a one-time winner to the finals and is going to lose to Parv in a pretty respectable fashion. I'm all about that. So good for Todd. But in first place right now, we have Brian P with 60, and it looks insurmountable. He's been leading the entire time, probably going to lead anyway, all the way through this. Matthew C with 54, Braden 54, Tara 53. Haikus of a Dragon Slayer 53 and Henry G with 53. If you have less than 50, you can't win this one. Unfortunately, sorry, everybody. So the way that that's going to work is if you do win this, and this goes for all of our other games, if you win Power Rankings, if you win the fantasy game, we're going to email you or we're going to message you here, depending on if you're a patron or not. If you don't answer it, there's nothing we can do. So make sure you use an email that works. And if it doesn't, find a way to get in touch with us. Our Gmail is survivorspecialist@gmail.com. And I'm willing to tell everybody that now because we get so much spam email. I don't know what list we ended up on in the last week. So we got our 10 questions this week. We're ready to go. I tried to do some of these about the live reunion as well, because that's as random as it gets. And there's no way you guys can cheat on that.
Okay.
So we're starting off with the first one. Who will be the last person to get their first confessional in this episode? So you got a 1 in 5 shot on this one. Who's the last person to get their first confessional of the episode, Jack?
It is my role. So the competition that's going on, is this your viewers also answering these questions? That's how they get points, but we're just doing them.
Yeah, we just do it for fun. We're the guys. Okay. We're the professionals here.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to make sure I wasn't having any direct influence on things.
No,
so who's the last person to get their
first? You can't ruin anybody's good time. That's okay. The good thing.
So who's the last person to get their first confessional this episode?
Yeah.
Okay. So the only, you know, I think generally we can think about the edit, but I'm also thinking about what just happened to close out the final six, and that's Sari going home. And so I think it's also safe to think, hey, maybe some people who've been close to Sari are going to have some commentary on this. That would be an Aubrey, a Tiffany, a Rizzo. So my vote, I think I'm going to go with Joe.
Okay. I think Joe is a good answer on this one. I am going to, since it was Sari who just went home, I'm actually going to go with Jonathan. I think that Tiffany had a good working relationship with Jonathan. I think Aubrey did. I think Rizzo did. So that leaves Joe and Jonathan. And I think we could actually get a a quote from Joe here that says, we got rid of Sari and we got rid of Devins. Hell yeah. And that comes out before Jonathan. Now, I think Joe's probably the easier answer, but just to play devil's advocate a little bit, I'm going to go with Jonathan. And I have I don't have many points, guys. So whatever I'm doing hasn't been working for me all season.
Fade Phil.
I have 36 points. The leader has 60.
Yeah, it's all right.
I didn't kill it. All right. I don't control the order of these over at Real TV Fantasy. So this next one probably should have been later on in the season here or in this episode, whatever I'm doing. But who will win the season? Go ahead, Jack. Give me your final takes.
I think in terms of thinking about who gets to a final three and can actually win, my top options are Aubrey and Tiff. And I think Tiffany's road, like we said, is just a lot tougher. Like, she has to sort of win out. I think Aubrey just has a lot more routes and avenues to the final three. So I guess give me Aubrey.
There you go. Yeah, we're going chalk here. I'm taking Aubrey as well. She's coming in as the favorite. Her edit's been bizarre the whole season. They wouldn't have shown us so much of her early on if she wasn't winning this thing at this point.
Yeah, it's very chalk, but I hope to be wrong about that. Not because I'm have anything against Aubrey. I just would like to be surprised. You know what I mean?
No, that's how I am too. Like I said at the beginning of this, Aubrey winning is a very satisfying conclusion to her story. The problem with this season, I mean, I saw a stat, I think it was from Survivor Fact Checker, that said this is the second most underedited group of finalists other than Survivor Nicaragua.
Wow.
Like, Survivor Nicaragua is not a well-received season. A big part of the reason is because you don't know the players who make it far.
And the irony of that, too, is not to take us away from these questions, but it's not like there was really a lot of people in Survivor Nicaragua that were not in the final five that were getting a lot of edit.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't Nayanka and Purple Kelly that were dominating the edit. You know what I mean? Like, you think Survivor, and I actually think Survivor Nicaragua slightly underrated. But it's like, who was really soaking up screen time there? It was like Marty Piombo, who went out at what, like 11, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, that's kind of a funny stat. You would think like Fabio and Jane and stuff were maybe getting a little bit more of the share.
I think what really helped it is that, or what really hurt it was that early on you had Jimmy Johnson, Jimmy T, these players who had big, big edits. Shannon, for as much of an ass as he was, gets a huge, huge edit early on. Marty, Brenda, you know, those two. Nayanka actually does end that season.
Yeah, she did have a fair share. I mean, yeah, but she quit. I mean, shout Dr. Jill, a good friend of mine. Weird season for sure.
Weird. And this is the second most underedited Final Five. So it's like, man, it's not our imagination that we don't feel like we know the stories of these Final Five, despite the fact that we've watched them all play at least once before.
Yeah, is that why? Maybe that sort of epitomizes why the hype for me isn't as high, because I think when I look back on this season, it's going to be Sari and Devins and even like a Christian Hubicki that live in my mind.
Yeah.
And so now we're at and I think it was right of the editors to highlight those players a good bit. I mean, I think the most fun part of the season was for me was early on when it was a lot of Christian and he was just like doing Christian stuff. And I was like, this is so fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, now we get to the final five. And I definitely wish we saw like a little bit more Rizzo and a little bit more Tiffany. But again, you know, you go into the season 50, they're two of the, like, relative to some of the other multi-time legends that we have here that are naturally going to get a lot of the edit, like a coach and so on. I guess it makes sense why we didn't see as much. But now that we are here at the finals, it's like, well, I wish I had a little bit more hopes for Tiffany and Rizzo to potentially pull it out, which would have been aided by a bigger edit.
Well, and that's why it's such a bummer to lose Devins and Three last week, because, you know, somebody had commented and said, what does it matter, you know, if they go home this episode or next week? They're going home at six anyway. And it's like, yeah, but that's why cliffhangers exist in TV, because it keeps you coming back next week. Then the whole conversation this week would be, how does Ceri get from 6 to 1? How does she do it?
Yeah.
And then when she doesn't, well, at least we had a whole week to talk about it. I mean, I don't know how your guys' numbers are, but our numbers are down big time this week. And people will say that's because you guys were complaining. Our downvotes, our dislikes aren't up. It's just our numbers are lower.
Might have been down a little bit too. Although it's like, I mean, look, that last episode was rough. I guess, I don't know. I think you make a good point, but I also am like, would I rather have a week to like sit on the Ceri and the Devins elimination? Although them back to back in the same episode, also tough. Because if Ceri goes at 6, but it's like in the finale, and then she's just sort of like a asterisk on the rest of the finale. I don't know. Maybe that's where I'm like, I want to give as much time to give Ceri respect as I can, you know?
Well, I mean, you figure they're going to do like an hour for reunion, 2 hours for the rest of the episode. So you have an hour and 45 minutes dedicated to Ceri going home at 6. You do 15 minutes about 5th and 4th, and then you do the final tribal in 2 minutes, and that's it. I mean, you know, that's what it should have been, but here we are. All right, next question. Who will win the final 5 immunity challenge? This one to me is really hard. I don't even know what it is.
I mean, historically, I feel like 5. And so now this is a little bit of a, like, maybe too layered of thinking. But I'm thinking about the fans got to vote on a final 4 challenge. And I think there was one that was like a big obstacle course with a puzzle. Mm-hmm. There was like the Samotion one where you're like juggling the there's like the
it's the one Kelly Wentworth did in Cambodia.
Trying to phrase it in a way that Bryce Isaiah wouldn't get too excited about. And
it's
there's the
really
one...
hard when you think about Bryce when you're trying to talk about these things, because you know he's just gonna roast you no matter what.
And then there was the one where they're like, it's the puzzle, but you have to like roll the ball up and like make sure that it doesn't drop. I think it was in 46. That and Samotion are the two most likely ones, right? So there's not going to be that obstacle course, but I feel like historically they do like to mix in one of those more like epic course challenges. So I think we could see that at 5. And so but if there's a puzzle, I don't know if it would be a Joe. Because I'm thinking like, who's going to be great with the obstacle course, but also the puzzle. And to me, that's like an Aubrey or a Tiff. But I think just give me Aubrey. Yeah, I think that's my pick. Okay. For that one.
I'm going to go with Joe because I don't buy. I mean, I think it could be an obstacle course for sure, but I could also see them doing something that's more stationary. I also feel like Joe just needs how difficult is the puzzle really going to be? I feel like it won't be so crazy that Joe will have enough time to figure it out. I mean, as long as it's not a spelling thing, I know he did, I think at one point, say he was dyslexic or something like that. So like, it would make sense, but I know a lot of people were making fun of him and Jonathan for spelling inconceivable so wrong. I was like, guys, they spelled it right on the front. They just didn't realize they were supposed to do it on the back. That's kind of on them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows right they spelled it on the front, but it was more so obviously more so the back, like they didn't spell it that wrong. Yeah, I mean, Joe, that was sort of where my mind kind of went. But then I thought about puzzles and I'm like, not that Joe's god awful at puzzles, but I'm trying to envision a puzzle. I'm trying to like envision in my mind Joe completing a puzzle. I just like don't really see it. That sounds kind of terrible, but I don't know. It's like what, even with a big lead, I'm sort of like what, you know, maybe a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah, it's probably going to be Aubrey, huh?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you might be right. But I'm going to stick with Joe. I said it, I'm sticking, sure. But you're probably right.
If then again, it's like, who even knows if there is going to be a puzzle? You know what I mean?
That's true, because if it is Samotion, then it's up to anything at Final Five. But if it is one of the other two challenges, I think that they probably would do something that's more stationary endurance based if it's one of the other two challenges at Final.
Well, yeah, I mean, I will say historically, I always love these, like whether it's at 4 or 5 or whatever, whenever they typically do them, like, and they haven't maybe done them as much in the new era, but like the epic multi-stage, maybe there's like a maze and then there's like stairs that you got to run up and down with your pieces. And then you got to like go collect pieces at like different stations and then do the puzzle. Like, that to me is the quintessential Survivor challenge. And I hope that we see something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Who will win Fire?
So I'm trying to think, like, who's the best at Fire? Well, I don't, you know.
I'm taking Aubrey here because she's already won once. And I think Joe or Jonathan's going to win Final Four Challenge. And I think they're going to take each other because of honor and integrity. And it's going to be Rizzo versus Aubrey.
I think that's actually... Yeah, because obviously a lot of it boils down to, like, who wins that Final Four. So now I'm trying to think of, like, who would win Samotion or who would win that other, like, the ball and the puzzle one. Give me, I'll go Jonathan for this one though.
Okay. So can Jonathan beat everybody, or you think it's like he has to specifically be against like Rizzo?
I think if I had to bet across the board, I actually think Jonathan's a pretty safe pick to beat at most everybody, especially I think given that he lost Fire in 42. I don't think he was like bad at Fire. Again, I just think Mike was really good. That's probably something that stuck with him. And I can see Jonathan being the type of, like, I'm going to go out in my yard every day and practice this. Like, since 42 happened. You know what I mean? So I can see him being really good at Fire now. And I also think that if it's not him or Joe, I like what you said about they're probably going to take each other. So maybe there's a higher chance that they just don't do Fire. But I also think that if it's not him or Joe and like an Aubrey wins at four, then I think she probably takes a Joe, right? So, and then if you give me like a Jonathan and Rizzo, then I think Jonathan wins out. So,
and I could see Jonathan being the person who would win immunity. He'd win immunity and then he would turn around and say, I'm going to give it up to go sit in Fire and prove that I can make Fire and win and get to Final Three. I could see that for sure.
Also true. It is interesting with like a Samotion, because I think if you go the challenge that has that you roll the ball and you do the puzzle, I think I like Aubrey for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go the Samotion one, it is interesting because there's never really like, there's like, what's the criteria to be good at Samotion? I think you have to be like coordinated, like good hand eye. But outside of that, I feel like there's not a lot of like, a lot of times it's a surprising winner. I think it's just like a matter of willpower.
A lot of focus.
Focus and willpower and a little bit of like timing, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I think it's, That's kind of anyone's game, you know what I mean? So it's hard to guess off that.
All right, who will have the final confessional of the season? So the confessional that leads into the final tribal council. I think Aubrey wins, so I'm going with Aubrey. Jack, you got any thoughts on that?
I'm torn because I think something we've seen a lot in recent seasons where I go into Final Tribal expecting it to be, you know, I guess the person who ultimately went. Like last season, I went into the episode thinking it was going to be Savannah, but as they unrolled Final Tribal Council and it went down, I started to have some hopes for Sophie. And I would say the same thing about a 47 where you sort of like go into the episode thinking like, if Rachel gets to the end, she's going to win. But I remember thinking that Sam Phelan started to make a very compelling case for himself. And so I wonder if that, you know, with sort of the general consensus that Aubrey might win, if the editors will then want to introduce like, hey, here's another option. But I could also see them being like, if Aubrey does win, we really want to like hammer that home. And she's against Joe and Jonathan. She's probably gives the most compelling confessional of that three as far as like, encapsulating her game and like leaving us kind of on the hook. So I guess I'll go Aubrey, but part of me wanted to say like Jonathan just to sort of throw out a potential other option.
And I could see that for sure. Like they don't always go with the last person before, but I feel like Aubrey, based on everybody who's left in the game, if I think she's making Final Three, she's got the story, you know, last time I did this, blah, blah, blah. And like, we get her walking and she's grabbing the torch talking about Michelle. I could absolutely see that happening. The other two don't have that.
Especially given this season, like she's had a lot of the edit, but she hasn't had a lot of like big moves per se, which is fine. But I could see why they would, you know, Survivor would then want to be like, hey, this is the Aubrey episode. This is where she stakes her claim for the crown. So they leave us off with that, like potentially an iconic confessional of her sort of wrapping everything up and then going into tribal council and really like dominating. So I think Aubrey's a good bet there.
Yeah. So for these reunion questions, just so everybody knows who's playing the game, it's only the five people who are left. So essentially the answer is either going to be one of these five people or it's not. If it is somebody that's not one of these five people, I'm not going to give the points. So just throwing that out there. Other than the winner, who will be the first person to talk at the live reunion? It's got to be one five. It's got to be one of these five.
Okay. Because my first,
and you know what? The way I'm actually going to do it, just so everybody's clear, it'll be other than the winner, who of these five will be the first one to talk? Because I can't do anything about it. So you will get the points, even if Christian gets like the first question after. I still got to go here because it's only these five that are available right now on.
So is this of these five? Who does get the first one out of these five? So it could be the first one is like Christian, but then if Rizzo with one, and then the answer is Rizzo.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go with. I mean, I'm thinking usually if it's not the winner, it's probably going to be either second place or the person who made fire.
Mm.
I mean, I feel like Jeff a lot of times will just ask the second place, like, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be Jonathan. So I'll say Jonathan.
Yeah. I'm going to go Jonathan as well for this one. I think that Jonathan, especially if he is second place, which is where I'm leaning, I think that they probably go to him and say, hey, Jonathan, what do you think about, you know, you got a couple votes here. What did you think? Mm-hmm. What did you think your chances were? I think that's where they would go for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The next one, again, who will be the final player to talk at the live reunion? So if it's Christian, it would just go to whoever the final one out of these people was to talk at the reunion. So this can be the winner as well.
The final. Interesting.
I'm going with Rizzo. I think that Rizzo is going to be the lead in from 48 and 49 from 49 and 50 into the 51 preview. Honestly,
I think that's pretty smart. Cause yeah, you could see Jeff go into the biggest fan being like, are you excited for next season? And Rizzo's like, oh my God, Jeff, show us the teaser. Oh man. Let's see. I think that he might end it off with the winner who we think is Aubrey. So I'll say Aubrey just to separate myself from your answer. But I think you have very good logic for why it could be Rizzo.
Yeah, and I think like John on Tube says Coach, Daryl Seymour says Siri. I could absolutely see it being those people, but for the sake of this game, those guys can't be the answer because we can't click them because it's only the five. And this is where the reunion just gets tricky. So all of these questions are one in five shots, which is good, I guess, for some people. Who will be taken to the final tribal council by the final four immunity winner? So who's going to be the one who gets taken?
Say Joe.
See, I'm going to go Jonathan. I think Joe is going to take Jonathan to the end.
Oh, do you think Joe will win the final four?
That's what I think happens.
I guess that's a good – I didn't really think about that bit, but I think that's a good – look, if Joe wins at four, I think he does take Jonathan, but I also think that if Aubrey or Tiffany or Rizzo win at four, then they probably take Joe. So I'll say Joe.
Okay. Yeah, so you're taking the guy who's more likely to come. I think that's a fair point. Yeah. Wait, did I already have Jonathan winning fire? Because if that's the case, then I have to change this. Oh, no, I have Aubrey winning fire.
You have Aubrey winning fire.
Clean. Okay. Who will have the most confessionals this week?
Aubrey.
Final episode.
I think.
Aubrey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Aubrey as well. I think this is her big, 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 big episode. And she's going to end up where we're all going to look back and go, she averaged like six confessional episodes. What are you guys talking about? And it's like, oh, because she had 20 in the finale or something crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I really hope it's a world where like Tiff just locks in and it's like a Tiff mega episode and she wins. That would be amazing. But I just think with how things have been trending.
And then the last question, who will say the episode title? The episode title is Reverse the Curse.
Oh man. So my, you know, first thought is what's the curse, right? Mm-hmm. And is it a fire making curse? Is it something with, you know, it could be like an Aubrey. I mean, it could be anyone who's like a losing finalist. When we get to this phase of the game, I'm thinking about like historic survivor curses. You know, you got like the Margarita curse.
Oh yeah, historic. Alex made it that way.
I'm like trying to figure out what the curse could be. Because there's also, there's been times where the person who gets brought with, I mean, there's been plenty of times where the person who gets brought to three wins. So that's not like the curse.
I think a lot of people are saying they think it's Aubrey. My thing is, so I'm a Yankees fan. Rizzo's a Yankees fan. The whole thing was always the curse, right? The Red Sox curse. And then it was when the Red Sox finally beat the Yankees that won ALCS, it was reverse the curse. Down 3-0, come all the way back, get to the World Series and win it. Reverse the curse.
Yeah.
And if I think Rizzo has a chance to be, I think he gets through five. I think he gets to four. If Rizzo's in fire, I think the reverse the curse quote comes from Rizzo getting ready to go make fire and saying, I'm going to reverse the curse in a confessional before he goes. So I'm going to
Rizzo. I think that's another good shout, especially because it's so fresh in his mind. I guess you have to think about like the whose vernacular is to like reverse the curse. Like, I don't know if I see Joe being like, I'm going to reverse the curse. Is there like a curse lingering over Tiff? Like, not really. Jonathan lost in fire. I'm going to say Jonathan. Cause I think he could win fire and I could see him being like, I had to reverse the curse, Mr. Jeff.
Yeah.
Like, something like that. So I'll go Jonathan, but that's an interesting one. Cause I didn't know that was the episode title, but I'm excited to see like what the context of this curse talk is.
Maybe
it's Ghost Island. Maybe it's in the teaser. Maybe it's 51's Ghost Island. You know, who knows?
There you go. I know. No, it could really be anybody. And I think Aubrey feels obvious to a lot of people if she is going to win with the whole Michelle thing. But I feel like it's...
But that's not like a curse, right? You know what I mean? Although maybe she's talking about like her with maybe her relationship with the jury. Like, it could also be like a Jeff. Like maybe Jeff is trying to set up these stakes as to, you know, whoever's going fire, whoever's, in the final three or whatever, some element of like reversing the curse that like, I think I could see him trying to introduce that idea to like add some weight to things. Obviously that's not an answer here, but, could be Jeff with the episode title.
Yeah. It could be anybody. It could also be one of the jury members talking about one of the players at some point, which again, those can't be an answer here, but it could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could be one of them. All right, Jack. Well, I know you got to run. I got to run too. So this is perfect. Hour, like we said, couldn't get any better. So are you guys doing a recap? You, Wendell, Bryce, you guys doing a recap?
Yeah, we'll be. Wendell is currently on a veil. But Bryce, Lauren O'Connell, and I will be doing our recap tomorrow. That's over on Bryce Isaiah's YouTube channel. Or if you search up the Purple Pants podcast, Survivor News, it's on all audio platforms. We usually record Thursday and drop Friday. So if you want a little Friday morning treat, you know, tune in and just check us out. We have a great time. So, but it's been great being on with you, Phil. I'd love to come on again sometime. This was a great time.
Yeah, for sure, man. We'll definitely try to figure out something for 51. And for everybody who's going to listen to that, either Lauren O'Connell is going to be very happy or very depressed. It's going to be one or the other over the Aubrey result, because I know she was an Aubrey stan in like May when the cast was initially announced. And I was like, I don't think Aubrey's going to be great on this season. And Lauren's like, are you kidding me?
Well, she's been a long time. I mean, they were on Edge together. So she's been a long time Aubrey stan. I'm gearing up. You know, if Aubrey wins, I obviously want to hear from a perspective of a Lauren of like, I'd need a little bit more context as to like how did, you know, maybe some behind the scenes on like her game this season to really like hit it home. But I also love to play devil's advocate. So I don't know but I'm like, maybe I don't want to be, you know, sparring with Lauren. But it'll be nice if Aubrey does end up taking it home to hear sort of maybe the inside scoop from a friend of hers to be like, maybe some what you didn't see about her game. You know what I mean?
And Lauren is actually doing our Memorial Day, May 25th podcast, Matt Chat with Tegwith. So she's either going to be really happy twice or really depressed twice. That's going to be one or the other. But anyway, so tomorrow night it'll be Blake and Alexa after the episode. They will be recapping it probably about 11:15 Eastern time. Once they're all done there, I will be at the live finale, so I will not be able to attend that, but I will be live on Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern with Troyzan for the final Digging Deeper of the season. John and McKenna will have a rewind on Friday. As I already said, Lauren and Tegwith on Monday, they will be doing the final Matt Chat of the season. And then we'll be doing a podcast next Tuesday and next Thursday. Tuesdays will be season 50, just like a look back, see what we thought worked, what didn't work, all of that. And then on Thursday, it'll be about the legacies of the players. So become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. Listen to us talk about Ko Wrong starting on Thursday. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Go check out Jack, Bryce, and Lauren. I almost said Wendell anyway.
Well, and Wendell, you know, we got a lot with Wendell, so.
I know, Wendell's on a veil, and then one of the X accounts might have just spoiled that. So anyway, bye, everybody. See you later. Thanks, Jack.
See you guys. Man, it's cool.